Welcome back to another exciting episode of Theme Parks and Recreation. We took an exceptionally long hiatus from the podcast. Part of it was me trying to figure out exactly how I wanted the podcast to be, and part of that was being a new dad wasn't conducive to a daily podcast. Add working a full-time job, a side hustle business, and going to school on top of that, well, you get a recipe for what they call pod fade. So with all that being said, if you're a new listener, welcome. If you're an original listener, welcome back. On this week's episode, we're going to discuss the future of the podcast, break down where we are at, and where we are going. Now, Nicole Ferguson and I have spent a lot of time watching Disney vloggers on YouTube to see what works and what doesn't work. What we've found that works best is positivity, viewer engagement, and consistency. Now, in my opinion, Paging Mr. Morrow and Super Enthused are the reigning king and queen of Disney vlogging. We'd love to have both of you on the podcast at some point, Nate and Jackie, if you ever listen to this. They didn't get where they are by being negative all the time, and they crank out new and interesting content on a weekly basis. They're consistent, they're on message, and they engage with their fans on a regular basis. I know Jackie has reposted a bunch of pictures of Ferguson watching her vlog on her Instagram stories. That's going to be our goal as well, you know, the engaging and positivity and, yeah. So, this week we're going to talk about how I kind of came to fall in love with Walt Disney World and Universal Studios in a roundabout way. I grew up in the late 80s and the early 90s, and the first memory I have is from when I was three. I have my tonsils and adenoids out. I remember my father. Now, he's not my biological father, but he adopted me and has always treated me like his own. Took the entire week off of work to go to the hospital with me and to be at home with me while I recovered. I remember he carried me to the operating room. And I remember asking if I could push the button on the elevator. And then the next thing I remember is being in the hospital room watching Welcome to Pooh Corner, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and Captain Kangaroo. Kids these days don't know what they're missing out on, for the most part, anyway. As I got older, we got more technologically savvy within our household. Prior to 1990, we had a TV antenna on the top of the house, and we got four channels, 3, 6, 8, and 10. Channel 3 was Canadian TV. Channel 6 was the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. Channel 8 was CBS, and Channel 10 was PBS. Then in the 1990s, my parents got a satellite dish. It was an EchoStar, and when you wanted to find different stations, the satellite dish would have to move. Of course, high winds, heavy rain, even a light snow would cause a crap ton of interference with the system, so that was always fun. But we got the Disney Channel, and that really opened us up to a lot of different things Disney. This was the classic Disney Channel, not the stuff that's on there now, you know? My little sister and I would watch Welcome to Pooh Corner, Dumbo Circus, Adventures in Wonderland, and the all-new Mickey Mouse Club. Yeah, the one with Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake and, well, pretty much all the famous boy band solo female artist acts of the late 90s and early 2000s. We had all the Disney sing-along videos that had live-action scenes shot primarily at Disneyland and Disney World. To say our house was inundated with Disney was probably the understatement of, well, forever. We always had the newest Disney animated film on VHS the day it was released. To be a kid growing up in the 90s again. There are relatively few things competing for our attention, unlike now, where everything is always in your face and there's just so much trying to compete for our attention. And we wonder why there's a nostalgia craze right now. Well, it's because we yearn for simpler times. I don't know if Disney or Viacom realized this when they created Disney Plus and Paramount Plus, but in my opinion, people who were born in the 80s are just yearning to go back to that simpler time. In the 90s, there's not a whole lot of options to compete for our attention. You know, one thing that companies did know is that they were competing for control of our home televisions. Of course, the options for what we would have attached to our televisions were only Nintendo and Sega, and the options for kids' channels at the time were the Disney Channel and Nickelodeon. Now, looking back on it, it almost seemed like Disney and Nickelodeon weren't really competing for viewership because both channels were rather complementary of each other. Disney had programming aimed for everyone, but mostly younger kids and families. And Nickelodeon, they were kind of the exception. They did have the Nick Jr. programming block, but the majority of their content was aimed for older kids and teens. I mentioned some of the Disney programming earlier in the show, but let's go back on the nostalgia bus to look at what Nickelodeon, Universal Studios, was offering at the time. Also, not a sponsor, but if you are getting really nostalgic for some of those shows, you can check out a good majority of them on Paramount Plus. For the younger crowd on Nickelodeon, there were shows like Rugrats, Doug, Real Monsters, Rocko's Modern Life, and Hey Arnold. As you got older, you graduated to shows like Clarissa Explains It All, The Adventures of Pete and Pete, Salute Your Shorts, Hey Dude, Are You Afraid of the Dark, and The Secret World of Alex Mack. Nickelodeon even got into enticing us kids with their own versions of daytime and nighttime game shows, but instead of Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy, American Gladiators, and The Price is Right, we were watching Double Dare, Nick Arcade, Legends of the Hidden Temple, and Nickelodeon's Guts. Now, this is the height of quality entertainment for Nickelodeon. There was always something for everyone to watch, and to be honest, what kid didn't want to be running through Olmec's Temple, navigating the Aggro Crag, or trying to catch a pie in their pants? Actually, you know what? If you told me I would be saying catch a pie in your pants on a podcast, I probably have said you were crazy, but yeah, it is what it is. On the flip side, of course, you had the Disney Channel, which was mostly available via satellite. As I had mentioned earlier, a lot of the programming on Disney was geared towards younger kids. If I was to put a target range on the audience, the majority of the programming was geared towards the under 12 crowd. Now, here's a little bit of tidbit of information for you all. Did you know that the Disney Channel actually had a hand in creating one of the greatest 90s TV shows of all time? If you say Friends, you're so wrong, it's not even funny. Worst show ever. But if you said Saved by the Bell, you were 100% correct. Saved by the Bell actually started out as a vehicle for Haley Mills, and it was based in, wait for it, Indianapolis, where we live right now, at the fictional John F. Kennedy Middle School. The show lasted for one season and was revamped into the series we now know as Saved by the Bell. I do remember catching reruns of that show and trying to figure out how Zach, Lisa, Screech, and Mr. Belding all wound up making the move from Indianapolis to Bayside High, but, you know, suspension of disbelief or whatever. The Disney Channel also had some great classics that we know and love, such as Darkwing Duck, DuckTales, Chippendale's Rescue Rangers. Chip, by the way, is wearing Indiana Jones garb, and Dale is definitely rocking that Magnum P.I. look. And y'all said Tailspin. Now, I feel like the late 80s to mid-90s was the golden age of the Disney Channel. Disney ended up dumping a lot of its original programming and started to air syndication programming from ABC. Stuff like Boy Meets World. Now, if you don't watch the show and see Mr. Feeny and think of an adult who shaped and molded you and encouraged you, are you even living? You also had Growing Pains. Rest in peace, Alan Thicke. You were the epitome of a fantastic dad. And Kirk Cameron, well, you're still a putz. They just ended up dumping all this to retool the network that was amazing, and in my opinion, when they retooled it, it just became absolute trash. Now look, Nickelodeon was rebranding at the time as well, and they were starting to push stuff out that was focused on tweens and teeny boppers. Disney, particularly Ann Sweeney, who took over as the president of the Disney Channel, wanted to take Disney Channel's focus that way as well. And by the way, this is who was 100% responsible for Hannah Montana, Miley Cyrus, Cadet Kelly, and the downfall of modern society. Yeah, I said it. Nickelodeon and Disney rebranded to tweens and teeny boppers is 100% responsible for the downfall of modern society. Now, I know I sound like an old curmudgeon with back in my day, but no, seriously, hear me out. Modern expectations have been built up from our days of watching these shows. Everyone wants a Seaver home. Instead, what did our generation get? Well, we got the modern equivalent of Married with Children. At least Al Bundy had a sense of humor, and while crass, which his sense of humor was, he always had the same job he could count on, even if everything about his life made him miserable. Now, with the split of the Disney Channel into a million different pieces with Disney Junior, Disney XD, and Disney Toons, and Nickelodeon and the rise of SpongeBob SquarePants, our childhoods were also smashed into a million pieces of malfeasance. May these glorious channels rest in pieces in Valhalla, or whatever. At the same time, though, let us also remember that some of the best performers out there got their starts on Disney and Nickelodeon. Kenan Thompson's career, for example, 100% got started with both Disney and Nickelodeon since he was on the sketch comedy series All That. Maybe in another episode we'll do a deep dive on that show. Then again, now that I think about it, no, we won't. Kenan Thompson made that show funny. Everything else was just cringe. And he also starred in D2 The Mighty Ducks and Heavyweights. And I think we will do a deep dive on that movie at some point. It's a bit of a classic, and I really think that growing up as an overweight kid, that was the first body positivity message I heard in modern media. I don't know, maybe I'm being too hard and maybe I'm being a bit too nostalgic. It just seems to me that growing up in the 80s and 90s, we had shows and characters that had a universal appeal to everyone. It just seemed that the shows encapsulated what it meant to be a kid. Now look, I'm a dad, and my kid is going to be a year old in about 2 weeks. And you know what he likes best? I can tell you it ain't the modern Disney animated shows like PJ Masks, whatever the heck that is. Just kidding, I've watched it. But this is going to bring me to everything that ties this all together. It's the classics that are on Disney Plus and Paramount Plus. My boy loves to watch The Adventures of the Gummy Bears and all the classic Disney cartoons. Heck, our oldest cat, Tiberius, if I put Steamboat Willie on repeat, he'd sit in rapt attention and watch that cartoon all day long. And that cat is all about that whistle. You know. It just seems like everything now is about overstimulation and sensory overload. I think it's overwhelming for parents. Then again, maybe our parents thought the same thing of the classics we used to watch, and they longed for the days of the original Mickey Mouse cartoons that they watched. Could it be? Nah. I challenge you to sit down and watch some of the classic shows I've discussed and then compare it to some of the modern shows that are out there, and I think you'll see what I'm talking about. I hope you've enjoyed this nostalgia overdose today. And let me discuss a little bit of what has led to our love of the theme parks. I think a lot of it is a nostalgia factor. We've proven, as millennials, and I know we get crapped on for this a lot, but it's the truth. We have proven time and time again that we want things to be like when we were kids. We spent all this money on getting NES, SNES, and Genesis Minis, sinking money into Disney Plus and Paramount Plus. Both are good investments, by the way, because we want to feel normal again and feel like kids again. Join us next week as we dig into my favorite ride at Walt Disney World, the Haunted Mansion. We'll be here, and it's always easy to find us. Second star to the right, and straight on until morning.